بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين. السلام عليكم dear brothers and sisters. إن شاء الله Allah accepts all of your worships, your fasting, and hopefully He helps us so that our fasting, our worships elevate to a higher level, and we're able to make better use of our time as we move along in the days of the month of Ramadan. We've had the tawfiq to be here in this month of Ramadan till the 23rd of this month. And the dua of this day, which is the day after the night of Qadr, the day of the final night of Qadr, which according to a hadith, according to what we have received from the Ahlul Bayt, from the Holy Prophet, seems to be the most important of the three nights. And it seems like the actual night of Qadr is on this night. And the other two nights are in preparation for this night. And therefore, both of those nights, the 19th, the 21st, are also important. But most important is the 23rd itself. After that, we're asking these du'as and making these requests to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allahumma ghsilni fihi min al-dhunub, wa tahhirni fihi min al-uyub, wa amtahin qalbi fihi bitaqwa al-qulub, ya muqila atharat al-mudhnibin. O Allah, wash me and bathe me in this month, on this day, of my sins. Another dhunub, all sins. Wash all of those sins away from me. It's interesting that this wording is used, the concept of washing. Sometimes we have what is mentioned as repentance, or asking for forgiveness, or removing the effects of sin, and so on and so forth. What we're saying here is, Allahumma ghasilni fi min al-dhunub. Wash all those sins off of me. Water has a very effective role in cleaning one and in removing filth from one's body. These sins, every one of them, every step in the wrong direction, brings filth to the heart, to the soul. And sometimes, unfortunately, we get involved in sin for long periods of time without repenting, without going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asking Him for forgiveness, without wanting to correct our deeds. And it accumulates. The heart becomes very filthy. A thick layer of filth and dust starts to cover the heart, and light does not penetrate the heart. Gradually, we go towards, God forbid, qisawatul qalb, where the heart starts to become rock solid, rock hard. No light is able to penetrate it. There is no entrance left for light to penetrate the heart. Now, we are believers, inshallah, that unfortunately have taken that path. I look at myself, we've taken that path, unfortunately. But we want all of the effects of the sin to be removed. When you take a shower and you wash yourself with water, after you come out, all the residue, everything is removed. You're clean completely. And so the water coming into the picture and washing everything off, that itself has a lot of meaning to it, where we truly want not just the punishment of a sin to be forgiven. We don't want just God to tell us that although you have committed sins and you're still filthy, that I will forgive you for being filthy. But we want the effect, that filth, to be removed from our hearts. We want that thick layer of dust removed from our hearts, from our souls. Washing of the sins. And it's all sins. And hopefully it's a type of washing that is going to cause us not to get filthy again. Of course, we always have that choice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can wash all of those sins away. But what's going to happen is that unfortunately we get involved with sins again, over and over again. Which takes us to the next point that we ask here. We say, O Allah, وَطَهِّرْنِي فِيهِ, purify me, cleanse me of, وَطَهِّرْنِي فِيهِ مِنَ الْعُيُوبِ, from نَعَيْب, plural of it is عُيُوب, faults, flaws. Faults and flaws may be seen in a material context. If you have a disability, that could be referred to as a flaw, an aib. If one's eyesight, if one is not able to see well or speak well, or they have issues with the way their skin is, different illnesses, different disorders. If you look at one's face, for example, something that one may have that would be considered an aib, a big mole, an ugly one, or a scar or something. These are all physical uyub. So here are we asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cleanse us from those. Obviously it seems that we need to move above that, and in such a dua we wouldn't be asking for things like that. Although there isn't anything wrong with asking for one's uyub and the apparent disorders and illnesses, what would be considered a flaw of any sort, for those to be removed as well. But what's most important are the flaws, the uyub of the heart of the soul. There's plenty of cosmetics to cover the physical flaws that one may have in their physical features, on their face, on their hands, on their bodies. There are plenty of medicine that have been produced, lotions and what have you, scrubs and pills and surgery and so on and so forth, to make the appearance of one look more and more flawless. And there's plenty of that in the West, more than anywhere else in the world. But with all that attention to the material body that is bound to lose the beauty and gain faults as it gets older and older and eventually lose life completely and become a corpse and start to decay, there is no way to avoid the physical flaws that a body is going to develop. It's bound to happen. It will happen sooner or later, but this will happen. It's good to work on the body as well, and to use those lotions and scrubs and medication and control one's diet to have a good physical appearance. It's not wrong. But giving the physical appearance that much importance and then leaving the soul without it being cleansed, allowing the filth to accumulate, that is not wise, that is not intelligent. It's very wrong to leave the soul for 50 years, for 60 years, and not even attend to it, and not even think how much filth has accumulated. And then when one dies, we start to realize how ugly we have come to look. God forbid, we may not even look human. That's how much filth can accumulate. We're saying here, the sins being washed, the effect of it outside in our actions, removing that is one thing. but removing the flaws of the soul that would cause one to want to commit sins again after that. God, remove jealousy from my heart. Give me control over my lust so that I don't allow it and don't allow my desires to take me over. It's important that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for both of those. Even if you come out clean, but you have an internal illness, you're going to start developing rashes. It's from within. It's going to start showing again. The way you're going to do that is not to just treat it and put lotion on it, put medication on the surface of your skin to remove the rash and make it look okay. You need to treat the internal problem as well. Those uyub need to be removed. The next passage of the dua is وَامْتَحِنْ قَلْبِي فِيهِ بِتَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. O Allah, do this, which is referred to as imtihan. امْتَحِنْ قَلْبِي. My heart needs this. For what? بِتَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. So that I develop taqwa al-qulub. So what is imtihan? Usually the word imtihan means to test. If you go to your school or to university or anywhere to take an exam, that if you pass, you're going to be able to get a certificate or go to the next level or get a degree or whatever it is, that test is referred to as imtihan. Usually in tests, a person, a teacher, is trying to come to know what type of knowledge the student is having. In other words, the teacher is not sure how well the student has learned. And in order to gauge that, there's something called a test. You ask questions, they're supposed to write them down. Based on the answers, you come to know what the student has understood. God testing us, that doesn't make sense. That meaning of imtihan doesn't make sense. Because God already knows who we are. He already knows what the result is going to be. It's not for Him to gauge who we are. But rather, imtihan, the tests that we do have, which are tests, they are tests for us, not for us to simply know what is going to come out of it, but a test, which means you have a choice of choosing what is right and choosing what is wrong. Making the right choice is going to elevate the soul, and one is going to move towards perfection. So the concept of imtihan, the concept of testing, is something that's going to cause one's soul to be elevated, for one to become more perfect. So now here, when we say وَامْتَحِنْ قَلْبِي فِيهِ بِتَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ, are we saying God test my heart? It seems that that also is not intended here. Imtihan, through that testing, putting a person through those difficult circumstances with the intention, which is the reason why God has created us. God didn't create us to put us in these circumstances so that we fail. He created us, so He puts us through these circumstances, and through being in these difficulties and making the right choices, to become more perfect. The result of this testing and the intention and the motive behind it is to purify the heart, okay? Is to purify us. So when we say, O Allah, امتحن قلبي فيه بتقوى القلوب, we're saying that God, bring this imtihan on my heart that will lead to developing this taqwa al-qulub. If you, I don't know if I've been able to get the point across. If you have a person that's working on gold to try to make the best looking jewel you could imagine with gold, in order to get it there, the artist is going to heat it and burn it. If you've seen the artist working on gold, There's a lot of burning going on. There's a lot of hammering going on. Burning away some of the impurities, shaping it the way it's supposed to be shaped so that you have that jewel. That process can be referred to as imtihan. It's through that hammering and through that burning that the jewel turns into the jewel that you have. We're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not for a test, just for the heck of having a test, but rather we're understanding what these tests are all about, and we're saying, God, you shape me into this where my heart has taqwa al-qulub. What is taqwa al-qulub? If one's heart is purified from those uyub, from the flaws, then that would mean that the heart has developed taqwa al-qulub. The heart doesn't want to do sin anymore. The one within, that soul, is not interested in sin anymore. It's now shaped. The heart is now shaped. It doesn't want to be filthy. It doesn't want to do anything that is going to be a sin. So taqwa al-qulub is very important. Why is it people like, for example, according to the Holy Quran, I wanted to mention particular examples of people, let's leave that. The Quran says that true believers, when they come across laghw even, not sin, not scenes that are very tempting to someone that is untamed, but they come across situations and circumstances of laghw, it's just vain, it's just useless. It's games that have no gain in them. When they are approached by those circumstances, it says marru kirama. They pass by with nobility. It's as though it doesn't even cross their mind. What is this? It's so insignificant. It's so worthless. Why are you guys busying yourself with this? If taqwa al-qulub is there, sins aside, even laghw is going to be something that you pass by and it doesn't even tempt you much. Yeah, you think of what they're going through, but you realize how insignificant it is. And so the inclination and the pull of the divine and spirituality is so much stronger, and the understanding of the insignificance and the worthlessness and the filthiness of sin and laghw becomes such that one does not want to engage in that. So, وَامْتَحِنْ قَلْبِي فِيهِ بِتَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ يَا مُقِيلَ عَثَرَاتِ الْمُذْنِبِينَ. We are again addressing at the end Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and calling Him by something, which is important. What is it? We're saying, يَا مُقِيلَ عَثَرَاتِ الْمُذْنِبِينَ. I believe in one of the previous du'as we had something similar to this. إِقَالَ is when you have two parties that are engaged in a form of exchange and trade. Once the contract is finalized and the exchange has happened, then the two parties, they can't come, either of them, and say, you know what, forget it, give me back what I gave you. They won't be able to do that. At least when the contract has solidified to that extent. Sometimes there's conditions that allow, for example, for the customer to bring the merchandise back within 30 days. But once that time has gone by, then you can't come back and say, give me my money back. I regret what I have done. I regret that trade and that transaction. I want to give back what I got, and I want to take back what I gave. You can't do that, because now the other party has the right. It's up to them to agree. If they agree, then you can get back what you gave. That's iqala. So we're saying, يَا مُقِيلَ عَثَرَاتُ الْمُذْنِمِينَ. We're talking about the then as an athar, as a slip, as a mistake. And we're saying, well, we slipped, it was a mistake, we apologize. That we presented to you our sins, flaws, wrongdoings, evil doings. And we're asking you, it's up to you, we don't have a right here to say, return that to us so we can dismiss it and put it aside and try not to do it again. You have to allow that for that to happen. So we're referring to him. Now, in the previous dua that we talked about this, we were requesting it. Now we're saying this. We're saying, we're asking you to wash our sins, to remove the flaws from our heart, to form our hearts and our souls such that we have taqwa al-qulub. You are the one that are muqil atharat al-muznibin. In other words, I am a muznib. I'm asking you for these things to make my heart have taqwa al-qulub. Now, with the mistakes that I am committing, this is not really possible. But you're the one who forgives all of that. And you're the one who gives it back and allows us to start over again. This is really important. Why? Because if we want to move towards developing taqwa al-qulub, it is not a process that is going to happen overnight, and we expect now that I have decided to be good, all of a sudden I have removed all the flaws from my heart, all of a sudden I develop taqwa al-qulub in 1 second just because I did tawbah. No, it's a long process. It needs imtihan, as we just mentioned. In the process of imtihan, I'm going to keep failing. When you have that goldsmith hammering the gold, sometimes it gets dented in ways where it's not supposed to. Now, in our case, it's our doing. We are supposed to move in a certain direction, we keep failing, we keep making mistakes. But we can arrive there and develop taqwa al-qulub by constantly trying to repent, and God is the one that will constantly forgive. And at the end, if we continue this, inshallah, by the grace of God, we will develop taqwa al-qulub. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us that.